Hello, everybody. My name is Eli Hollingsworth, and welcome back to Against the Current, the Chosen podcast, where today we're talking about Season 4, Episode 2, and I cannot believe that, again, I still can't believe that we are finally here talking about Season 4 after it's been so long that we've been waiting. We've been wandering in the wilderness for 365 days. It hasn't been exactly 1 year, but it has been a very long time, about a year. Again, Season 3 ended in early February, so now we're here in early February, and yeah. So, if you haven't checked out my review of Season 4, Episode 1, I would highly recommend you go check that out. Season 4, Episodes 1, 2, and 3, my review of all three episodes are dropping at the same time. So if you're seeing this episode, you've probably already listened to either 1 or 3, and you've come back to this one. Yeah, all three are out, available right now, so you can go ahead and listen, binge listen all of my reviews of Season 4, Episodes 1, 2, and 3. But let's go ahead and jump right into it. So Season 4, Episode 2, I will give a spoiler-free section. I still will be doing that because I know that there are people who cannot see the episodes who don't want to go out to the theater or don't have the means to or whatever, they don't want to, and that's fine. So I didn't want to give a spoiler-free section. So Episode 2, I do actually like better than Episode 1, and that's probably natural as the season goes on because we're going to get more and more events happening, but this has a big Bible moment in it. Season 4, Episode 1 did as well, and this one actually has multiple Bible moments, and the way they're intertwined is in a way that I wasn't expecting. And I'm happy to see these specific, there's two specific Bible passages that make an appearance in this episode. One is huge, and we've been waiting for a long time for this season, and the other one is smaller, but still a nice, pleasant surprise, and I'm glad to see the way they included it here in Season 4, Episode 2. We're spending more time with the disciples in this episode. We still get to see the return of some of our favorite villains as well, but I feel like this episode was a little bit more focused on the disciples specifically, as opposed to the last episode where we got more of Joanna, which is fine, and you know, the Roman party, the Roman officials that we like and are great villains, but I mean, the disciples are really who we're here for, disciples and Jesus, right? So whenever we get more time with them, that's always a plus. Again, not putting down the other characters. The other characters are always great, but the main disciples are who we relate to the most, and they're the ones that, you know, we like. So that's always fun. And we get more disciple-focused, we get more Jesus time. Last episode, Jesus didn't show up till, like, two-thirds of the way through, so we get him right off the bat, and just more character moments, more interesting things that are happening, and it's just really cool to see, and I'm sorry, but this marks the end of the spoiler-free section. You can still listen to the rest of the episode if you haven't watched Season 4, Episode 2 yet, Episodes 1, 2, and 3, all in theaters at the same time. That's totally cool if you don't want spoilers. I mean, again, we've already read the book, right? So you can just listen to me talk through the events that happen, because I basically just talk through everything that happens in this episode. You can go ahead and listen to that, or you can go ahead and click off now to save yourself from ruining the episode for you, but I would say that you should do that now. All right, so Season 4, Episode 2. We start with Jesus standing in a field. He sees John the Baptist, and John the Baptist throws off his shackles, and this is a cool dream sequence, right? So how far is pushing it when it comes to portraying what Jesus dreamed? I mean, Jesus was a human. He definitely dreamed, because that's something that a normal human would do. So how divine were his dreams? Did he just have dreams like we do of his teeth falling out and him being late to class for school or something like that? I don't know. And that's something that we will never know. Did he have the divine dream experience every once in a while? Probably. I mean, did he get visions of heaven while he was on earth? Everything that the Father revealed to him had to have been revealed to him somehow through entering his mind. So maybe dreams were a big way that Jesus saw things or learned things or gained divine inspiration from the Father. We know a lot of Old Testament figures got visions from God. Maybe this is a main key way that Jesus got knowledge from the Father. We don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm just speaking here. I might be completely wrong, but how far is too far when depicting Jesus' dreams? Did he dream? These are good questions, and these are good things to ponder. Because, like anything in The Chosen, it gets you to think about the divine things more, the things of heaven, the things of the next kingdom. That's what they're getting you to do. That's what these moments are doing. Me sitting here talking and questioning and going, is that accurate? It makes you go back to your Bible. It makes you go back and learn more and discover more and think more. And when you're thinking about this, instead of thinking about what's the next TikTok or YouTube video you're going to watch, anything like that is a plus. Any way that you can do that is a plus. So that's, you know, I thought the dream sequence was cool. I don't think anyone's really upset about it, because it is cool and it makes sense for the story, and it was a cool moment, and it portrays John the Baptist, you know, symbolizing that he's free. He's His shackles are gone. The chains are off him. He's at that wedding reunion in heaven, as he says. So that's just cool. You know, I really like the dream sequence. So then he wakes up from his dream, and Andrew comes to Jesus and sits with him. So Jesus is observing the Shiva, which is a Jewish tradition after a loved one or a family member or relative dies, where you go to the home, or so you stay in one home, and you sit and mourn the person for 7 days. Then after the 7 days are over, there is a ceremony in which the Shiva's over, begins immediately after the burial, and then, which John the Baptist didn't have a burial, obviously, because he was beheaded. So it begins right after that. So Jesus is sitting there in just one singular home and just mourning. It's usually with, they cover mirrors and they do things such as sit on low stools. That's why Jesus is probably sitting on the ground here, just to show respect and to mourn for the loved one that has passed away. So that's what Jesus is doing here, the Shiva. It lasts for 7 days. So Jesus asks Andrew how it's going, and he gives Jesus some food, and Jesus said it tastes like Elijah's bones, which is actually probably one of the best written jokes in the show, in my opinion. That one got a huge laugh at the world premiere. It was hilarious. Hilarious. That's really all, you know, no more to it than that. And Jesus says, some of the times we laugh the most come after a funeral. Andrew talks about how he should be feeling sadder, or he feels like he should be feeling sadder, and Jesus says, there's no should in grief, which is a great line. I mean, the writing just gets tighter and tighter. There is no should in grief. That is such a powerful line because, you know, it relates to so many more deeper meanings that you don't really think about when it comes to, you know, that just, you know, it's just a simple scene like this. We're mourning John the Baptist's death. Jesus is sad because his cousin is dead. And those dastardly writers, the Ryan and Tyler in Dallas, they just took us back to, you know, the entire concept of the sin that has entered the world. Crazy. I love it. And Jesus says, who did John say that I am? Andrew says, you're the one. And then Jesus says, we usually mourn in the home of the deceased. And where was John's home? And Andrew says, the open road. So then Jesus says, get the gang. And we get our classic intro music. I love this opening scene. It's a little bit longer, I think, than it was a little bit longer of a scene than last time. But no, it wasn't actually. They were both around the same length. So awesome. Love this intro scene. And we're ready to kick off on our adventure. Now, I hope you're listening to the podcast like while you're doing something. I hope you're not just sitting there like just sitting there staring at the wall and listening. I like to listen to podcasts while I'm doing something else, some other task, because it's good to have in the background, that kind of thing. So I hope you just wanted to say that. So this episode, in general, was a bit, like, I liked this much better than episode one, I think. And it was, there was a lot more that happened than I was expecting. I said this in the beginning. Like, with, since you've already seen it by this point, probably with the whole Matthew and Peter thing. That was a conflict that was, you know, it was introduced like about halfway through the episode, and it gets resolved by the end. I wasn't expecting. And it was, I'll get into that in a second. I have some thoughts on the way that was portrayed. I like it, but it was a bit, it's a bit interesting to me. So anyway, so Yusuf is getting ready for the day. We see him doing rituals, and he talks with this guy named Nathan, and he says he's having insomnia. And Yusuf Bixley just tells him to pray. He can pray to sleep better. And then a Jairus comes in and says, and they kind of talk about how life at the home was since Jesus raised his daughter. And Shmuel has been promoted to the Sanhedrin, which is interesting. So we're going to see that here. And we're seeing Shmuel kind of question, and he's starting to get a little unsure about the things that he believes. So that's awesome. We love to see Shmuel after his conversation, where we'll learn later that he prayed with Jesus. Awesome stuff. It's interesting to see Shmuel's journey this season, and we're going to see it a lot more, you know, as the season progresses, I bet. So it's super fun, super awesome. So we see Quintus making a sculpture of himself, which is funny and a cool, quirky scene. You know, it's good to get some levity. Again, much more levity than I was expecting. They said, season four, it's dread, it's terrible, it's awful, you're going to hate it. It's sad. And we get little moments like this. Quintus making a sculpture. Cool little joke to put into the scene. So Atticus comes in and he says, if you ask me, they're immortalizing the wrong end of you. You know, there's lots of little jokes like that. There were some that I maybe missed because in the world premiere, you know, there's so much laughing. It it, you know, you can't hear, but, you know, still awesome, still fun. So then he almost pushes over the bus, and he almost pushes over the bust of Quintus, you know, as they're talking, and Atticus says that this is the beginning of war. We saw this in the trailer. I believe it was the Deliver Us trailer that we saw this in. Super awesome. And so Atticus saw Jesus walking on, as I talked to Dallas, I don't know if you guys remember from my interview with him, some of you probably do. He talked about Atticus doesn't fully know what he's seeing, but he did see something, and he saw the feeding of the 5,000, but I don't think he fully understands and comprehends everything that's going on. So he's kind of questioning, and he's really freaked out because he doesn't know what he's seeing, and he doesn't know what's going on. So, he's saying that Quintus really needs to do something about Jesus. And then Quintus kind of dismisses it. So we get to Jesus and the disciples walking on the road. They're walking to Caesarea Philippi, as we'll see later. Yes, we love that. And then we get this interesting scene where Thomas and Rayma are going to ask Jesus to approve their betrothal. Whatever. It's funny how I picked the one profession where you talk for most of the time, and I suck at pronouncing everything. Like names, places, you name it. I don't know why that happened, but it did. So Thomas and Rayma, Nathaniel tells them to go for it. They're wanting to ask Jesus, so they go up, and he is familiar with the loophole that Rayma says, and he stops them. And then we get the monologue. People seem to think they know why I'm here. Jesus reciting, this is Matthew 10:34, where he says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So Jesus repeats that. That's again, I believe that's Matthew 10:34. So that's an interesting bit and an interesting place to put that, because I think in Matthew 10, at least, or what I just read, that's in the context of him sending out the disciples to cleanse unclean spirits. So interesting that they put that here, but it makes perfect sense. So he's telling them to not place the law above him. He's using this as a cool lesson. This is what The Chosen does a lot, where they, you know, this probably isn't chronologically where Jesus said this, where they take little bits and pieces from other sermons or teachings that Jesus gave, and they personify them. They say, this is what this would actually look like back then, and this is what this commandment meant to these people. This is what it would look like. Because in the Jewish tradition, basically, you know, the father and the mother, it was a community of shame and honor, that kind of thing. They very much, like Rayma is, she's subjective to her father for everything, for, you know, this whole marriage thing. She has to get permission from her father for it. And, you know, if this is something that they feel, maybe it's something that they're doing for their own personal, you know, liking and feelings, but they believe that's something that Jesus would want, and they're putting Jesus above their father and their mother and everything else, like Jesus says that they should do. So then we get a funny scene where Simon says, they kind of work out what Thomas is going to give Rayma. And he says he'll give her, you know, something, and then Simon comes to set Thomas straight, which is funny scene. How funny how they include that, you know, Simon, who is already married, and now he's going to try to mentor Thomas, and there's going to be a scene later of them talking one-on-one that I know, that I got to see being filmed. Very cool. And, I mean, again, just a super funny scene. I love it. It's moments like that where, you know, I'm thinking about, if I were writing the show, I don't have the mental capacity that Dallas and Tyler and Ryan do, obviously, right? But they think of these moments, right? Like they think, oh, naturally, if Simon or if Thomas and Rayma are getting together and they're going to try to get married and there's marriage involved, who was the other character here who's married? That's Simon. And Simon's going to come along and try to help Thomas in any way he can. And Simon, maybe, who is he boosting his ego? I don't know, but he's definitely going to come alongside him. And just things like that, like just thinking of moments like that, it's something that I personally wouldn't think of. And that's why I'm not writing The Chosen, right? So then the next scene, we get Shmuel. Shmuel is praying, and he's getting ready for his promotion to the Sanhedrin. And this is where we get the revelation that he was actually praying with Jesus. That's what he did in season 3, episode 8, when Jesus came to him, and then they prayed together there. We didn't hear what they said back in season 3, episode 8. It skipped over to the other disciples or to the walking on water scene, so we were all kind of confused. We were like, whoa, what did they say? I wonder what that conversation was between Jesus and Shmuel, because he seemed maybe a little shooketh by it. And turns out, they prayed, which is awesome, and we're starting to see Shmuel. I wasn't expecting to see this sudden turn in Shmuel's character, which we're seeing now in the season 4, where he's starting to question. He's starting to he was very firm in his beliefs in seasons 1, 2, and 3. So it's interesting to see how he's changing, you know, not suddenly. It's not like unexpected. It's kind of unexpected, but now he's all of a sudden changing his thinking after praying with Jesus and thinking, maybe this guy isn't the guy we thought he was. And Jesus comes to, they're going to Caesarea Philippi. We see the disciples on the road, they're talking, and they pass the sign that says Caesarea Philippi. And apparently Nathanael used to fear Caesarea Philippi, because he used to be involved with it somehow. So that was an interesting plot point. I like that little detail. And the gang comes to Caesarea Philippi. They come up and they see the temple, the cool, very cool set that they built. That's actually, it looks, apparently it's supposed to be a very exact, almost exact replica of the actual what Caesarea Philippi looks like. That's what I heard Ryan and Tyler were talking about. ChosenCon, they said that it actually is, they worked very hard to ensure that it actually looks almost exactly like Caesarea Philippi would have looked back in the day, which also we don't know, I don't think we have 100% certainty on what it looks like back then, but as close as they can, you know, because that's what the Chosen strive for all the time, is authenticity, they're being authentic. So, very cool. So, the rabbis are all in the temple, and the Pharisee, who, I forget his name, but he's like the grandson of some other Pharisee, he's from season 2, he gets up. And Shmuel is now on the Sanhedrin, and Caiaphas comes in. A decree is issued to question Jesus, and Shmuel learns that John the Baptist died. He also is very shooketh by that, and he's very concerned about that as well. Because Shmuel's starting to see that maybe this isn't what he thought he was, but now he's might have gotten himself in too deep. So Caiaphas comes in, and he looks at Shmuel, and he says they can't stone Jesus, but they must convince Rome to deal with him. So this is kind of where the Pharisees are, they're coming together and they're deciding, we have to join forces with our sworn enemy, Rome, and we have to get rid of this Jesus guy. And we're starting to see, that's what we're starting to see here in this episode, is that the Pharisees and the Romans, who are opposed to each other because, for obvious reasons, they're starting to see, oh, we might have to actually work together because we both want the same thing, and that is to get rid of Jesus because he's causing too much trouble and he's being too much of an influence on the people. So then we see the disciples at Caesarea Philippi. And then this is where we get the famous Bible passage where Jesus changes his name, Simon's name, from Simon to Peter. It's pretty awesome. And, you know, we get the recreation of the story from Matthew 16, Mark 8, and Matthew 16, which says, when Jesus says, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, this is a very cool scene to see in The Chosen. I was very happy to see it, and I wasn't expecting it to be this early on in the season. But it was awesome. I really liked to see this scene. It was portrayed in such a cool way. I love the set. I love the location. It was very, very cool. He says to keep the fact that he's the Messiah quiet. And Judas says he wants Jesus to act now. Are you ready to follow in John and Jesus' footsteps, even if it leads to a place like this? That's what he says. He says that they're going to leave doubt. He helps little James with carrying some stuff. And now Peter is the rock. Super cool. Very much love the scene. Any scenes where Jesus is talking to disciples, like I said before, some of the best scenes. This is the stronger parts of the show. These are at least my favorite parts, right? Because I like I said before, I love all the other characters. I love all of the new additions to the show, and they all flesh out this world and make it feel lived in and populated and, you know, thought out. And I love all the characters, but really the disciples, you know, they really are the strongest parts of the show. Is when Jesus and the disciples are together and all of the philosophical debates that are happening and all of the back and forth of everything that the writers portray is going on at the time and in the show. It's just great. I love it. So Yanni and Shmuel are talking, and Shmuel is regretting the John the Baptist thing. He's very shaken by that. And Shmuel should bring Jesus before the Sanhedrin. And Shmuel goes to find Jesus. He says he goes to find them. So then we get this really interesting scene, which when I saw this scene in the behind the scenes when they were filming it, I thought this was going to be Peter's name change in Caesarea Philippi. So I was close, but I didn't exactly nail the head on what exactly this scene was going to be. They are in Caesarea Philippi, so that is that, but not exactly what I was thinking. So I did kind of get this wrong, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. So the disciples are around the campfire, and James and John are jealous of Peter getting his name changed. And this is going to be a plot line that we're going to see continue, because it eventually leads to James and John asking Jesus which one of them is the best. And then that whole pride thing ensues, and there's going to be a conversation with their mom where she gets jealous that Simon got a new name, but they didn't. We see the other disciples as well, not just James and John. They're all kind of confused because they think that Peter's the leader now, and he was specifically chosen by Jesus, and why didn't any of the rest of them get, you know, the same kind of power or control that he did? And they're all just kind of arguing, and this scene is kind of funny. There's just always the banter between the disciples is entertaining and fun to watch. We don't like to see people argue with each other, but I think it's very entertaining and funny, and there's a lot of funny moments, and just the witty banter is very hilarious. And Matthew handles this situation the way that any of us should handle any situation. He comes to Jesus about it. He stops bickering with his fellow people, and it's just kind of the blind leading the blind, if you will. Matthew comes to Jesus, and Jesus says Matthew's always looking for the right word. Matthew tells Jesus what Simon said, and Jesus says to ask for forgiveness. Matthew thinks Simon is temperamental, but Jesus says he makes people what they aren't. And this little interesting bit here where Matthew's talking to Jesus is very interesting because, so this whole issue with Simon and Peter, which gets resolved in this episode, like I said, it kind of gets introduced like about halfway through and concluded by the end of the episode. So I am a little bit, like the placement of it was a bit interesting to me because they do the whole forgive your brother 70 times seven times. So that was, I don't know, I thought that was a cool way to tie that in with Matthew and Simon's whole relationship, but I did think it was interesting the way it was placed here, because like Matthew says, it's been like over a year and a half since all of the stuff between the two of them happened. So it is interesting to me how they decided to place it here. It's all of a sudden now coming into play, but you know, I don't dislike it, and I like this plot line. It was cool to see, you know, Simon and Peter finally, Simon and Matthew finally make up. Very fun, and I like this little plot line. So he says that Matthew has to ask for forgiveness. And there's no peace when two followers hold resentment for one another in their heart. And Jesus goes to sleep. And it's just funny to still see the disciples arguing. And then Simon's like, are you guys arguing about something? And yeah, that whole scene is just hilarious. They pray and they go to bed. And then the next day they're walking through the field and James and John are trying to be the flags of the temple. They're very concerned with the material. They're just not getting it. And this is what Jesus gets frustrated about later in the season that we're going to see. So just a fun plot line. It's fun to see. Like, it's just funny the way that the disciples are bickering, because think of how we would act in this situation. This is how we act also in our everyday life. Like, this is not just, oh, haha, look at the disciples. They're so dumb and they're just not understanding. Like, yeah, this is us every day. This is how we act towards each other a lot of times. And it's just always fun to see. It's fun to see ourselves in these characters, even if it's a little too true. And then they stop and get some food at this cart that's in this field. And it's the little running gag is hilarious, where everybody's still getting used to calling Simon Peter. Like, everybody's still kind of calling him Simon. Also another funny joke. And realistically, how it would have been hard to adjust to get your friend just got a new name, and now you got to call him by something you didn't call him before, and you've known him for years, called him Simon, now you got to call him Peter. Funny to see that as well. Andrew's very proud of Simon and how they're kind of teasing and poking each other. And Simon is doubting himself a little bit, and everybody's obsessed with this title that Simon has gained. Tamar talks to Matthew a little bit about what to include with his, how he includes what he includes in the Gospels, and Matthew says Jesus gives him a look, and then Jesus looks at Matthew. Again, another well-timed scene. There was a lot of really funny moments in these first two episodes. The third one gets a little bit more serious, but you know, the first two episodes did have a lot of funny moments. I really enjoyed a lot of these scenes. You know, just really funny. You know, just clever, smart, witty stuff happening. So then he goes to apologize to Peter, and he has this Andrew jokes about him having to submit a request to talk to Peter, and Matthew doesn't get it. You know, that's another funny interaction. Matthew apologizes to Peter, Peter kind of storms off a little bit. Which, that was also kind of interesting the way this scene played out, because we were all kind of expecting, like, oh, this is it. They make up, and they get back together again. This is going to be good. And it was a little interesting how they played it off. Like, I wasn't expecting him to just walk away like that. It was kind of funny. So then we get a scribe comes to Jairus and gives him the edict from Jerusalem, which is the warrant that says, question the teachings of Jesus, and is putting Jesus in more danger. And it's time for Jairus and Yusuf to go to Jerusalem, and they need to talk to Yusuf's dad. Now, I think this is part of the theory. I don't think this is disproving the theory that, I know it's been a theory for a while in the Chosen community, that Yusuf is Joseph of Arimathea, and his dad's very rich, as we know. His dad's a very notable person. So we'll have to see who Yusuf's dad is, and I'm interested to see who Yusuf's dad is going to end up being. But they both know that they have to go to Jerusalem because Yusuf's dad is a very powerful, wealthy person, and Yusuf grabs some money that he's been saving in a safe for the journey. So that's an interesting plot line, and I'm interested to see where this is going to go with Jairus and Yusuf, who Jairus believes, and Yusuf also seems to have an open heart as well. So that's going to be good. That's going to be awesome. And this next scene is also very funny, where Peter is in bed with Eden, and she says, do I have to call you Peter too? And just another funny scene of the people around Peter not really understanding and just being kind of confused because it's a funny situation, and I like it. And I love the humor that they played into these two episodes. It was fun. It was awesome. I really enjoyed it. So then Peter gets up, and he leaves, and he goes on one of his little thinking walks. Shahar plays Peter so beautifully. I mean, I love Shahar's performance of Peter every time he's on screen. He really is, like, he's the perfect fit for Peter. Not to say that he's really arrogant and, you know, stubborn and, you know, big-headed, but Simon, or Shahar, just really plays him very well. And there's a little bit of Peter in all of us. I know I specifically relate to Peter a lot as well. So then we get this scene where Peter comes to Jesus, and he asks him, if a brother sins against me, how many times should I forgive him? And Jesus says, you should forgive him 70 times, 7 times. This is from Matthew 18. And interesting, okay, so this is actually cool. I didn't notice this. I just noticed this now, that most of this stuff with the forgiving thing is in the book of Matthew. So Matthew is recording this. Yeah, so it is cool the way they tied that in. You know, interesting detail. I like it. Because it comes from Matthew 18, verse 21. Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore the kingdom may be compared to a king who settled accounts with his servants. And he gives the parable of the unforgiving servant. In the book of Matthew, in verse 8, and in chapter 18, he gives the parable of the unforgiving servant. He doesn't give that here, but without limits. And Simon flashes back to when Jesus called him, and he says, why does everything have to be so hard? And Jesus says, things are much harder when man leans on his own understanding. So a very cool scene. I love this whole plot line with Simon and Matthew finally making up and talking to Jesus and getting the wisdom from Jesus. Just very cool. I like it. And then Quintus is telling Gaius, and his friend, I forget the name of Gaius' servant, who's also helping out with him. Or not a servant, sorry, his like partner. And he's telling them to do something about the tenth city. And he tells them he wants them gone in 1 week. And they're trying to think of a way to stall. So then Matthew sees Gaius, and he comes to him. And Gaius tells Matthew that he's hopeless. And Matthew still reminds Gaius about Jesus. And Matthew says that he has comfort in the fact that he has only one thing to do today. He has so many things going on in his mind. Obviously referring to the fact that in the show, Matthew's portrayed as having, I think it's like autism. No, I think it is autism. I was going to say, I think it's like Asperger's, or I don't know. But some form, he's on the spectrum in the show, which is an interesting way to portray him. And so he's saying here that he has so many things going on in his brain, but he has one thing to do today, and that gives him comfort, and that is to follow Jesus. So Gaius says, tells him not to preach, and then we get the final scene of the episode where the disciples are all there helping with the oil business, the women need help pruning, and they're thinking about bartering cinnamon cakes for money to buy something special for Rhema, and then they're all kind of talking, and Simon sees Matthew, and he just marches right up to him and gives Matthew a big hug and says, I forgive you. It's over. And the episode ends. Cool scene, very cool plot line, and I love the way this was resolved. You know, we love to see that finally we're getting some closure on Simon and Matthew. We're glad we got that out of the way so we can deal with the other hard stuff that's coming this season and in the coming seasons. But still very cool, nonetheless, to finally see Simon and Matthew making up. So, this episode, very, very good. One of my favorites, actually. This was a very good episode. Anything that has to deal more with Simon, I'm there for. So, thank you so much for listening again. And Be sure to check out, if you haven't already, my review of episodes 1 and 3. Those are all out at the same time. And head over to my YouTube channel, Against the Current, and the Chosen Podcast, to check out all of my other extra content about the show, explaining things, breaking stuff down. You know the drill. You guys probably have already subscribed to the YouTube channel anyway, I would hope. Be sure to head over there when you get the time. And I hope to see you guys soon. Again, I'm on a cruise right now as you are listening to this. So I'm on vacation. So everybody enjoy your week. And be sure to let me know what you think of these episodes. And, you know, let's all connect in the fan clubs and stuff in this community. I'll see you guys next time. Binge Jesus.